Chapter 9, entitled The Appearance of the Demon Vritasura, text number 50.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate
Vasudevaya.
Svayam,
Svayam,
Vishayasam,
Vishayasam,
Vidvan,
Vidvan,
Jagti,
Jagti,
Agnaya,
Agnaya,
Karma,
Karma,
Ki,
Vina,
Rati,
Rati,
Rogina,
Rogina,
Rajyam,
Rajyam,
Vanchato,
Vanchato,
Ki, Vishak, Vishaktama,
Vishaktama,
Swayam Nishayasam Dirvam,
Swayam Nishayasam Dirvam,
Navapyagnaya Kamahi,
Navapyagnaya Kamahi,
Narati Rogino Patyam,
Narati Rogino Patyam,
Chatopi Vishaktama,
Chatopi Vishaktama,
Swayam Nishayasam Dirvam,
Swayam Nishayasam Dirvam,
Navapt Yadnaya Karmahi,
Navajnaya Karmahi,
Narati Rogino Patyam,
Narati Rogino Patyam,
Chatopi Vishaktama,
Chatopi Vishaktama,
Swayam Nishayasam Vidvan,
Swayam Nishayasam Vidvan,
Navajnaya Karmahi,
Navajnaya Karmahi,
Narati Rogino Patyam,
Narati Rogino Patyam,
Chatopi
Vishaktama,
Chatopi
Vishaktama,
Swayam,
Swayam,
personally,
personally,
Nishayasam,
Nishayasam,
the supreme goal of life,
supreme goal of life,
namely the means of attaining ecstatic love,
namely the means of attaining ecstatic love,
the supreme personality of Godhead,
supreme personality of Godhead,
Vidvan,
Vidvan,
one who is accomplished in devotional service.
One who is accomplished in devotional service.
Naha,
naha,
not.
Naha.
Vyakti,
Vyakti,
teaches.
Teaches.
Agnaya,
Agnaya,
unto a foolish person.
Unto a foolish person.
Not conversant with the ultimate goal of life.
Not conversant with the ultimate goal of life.
Karma,
karma,
fruit of activities.
Fruit of activities.
He,
indeed.
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 Na,
not.
Rati,
administers.
Administers.
Rogina,
unto the patient.
Unto the patient.
Apadyam,
apadyam,
something unconsumable.
Something unconsumable.
Vanchata,
vanchata,
desiring.
Desiring.
Api,
api,
although.
Although.
Vishaktama,
vishaktama,
an experienced physician.
An experienced physician.
His Holiness Tamal Krishna Maharaj Ki. Translation. The essence of all verses, devotees. A pure devotee who is fully accomplished in the science of devotional service will never instruct a foolish person to engage in furtive activities for material enjoyment, not to speak of helping him in such activities. Such a devotee is like an experienced physician who never encourages a patient to eat food injurious to his health, even if the patient desires it. Purport. Here is the difference between the benedictions awarded by the demigods and those awarded by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Vishnu. Devotees of the demigods ask for benedictions simply for sense gratification, and therefore they've all been described in Bhagavad Gita as bereft of intelligence. Those whose minds are distorted by material desires surrender to demigods and follow the particular rules and regulations of worship according to their own natures. Conditioned souls are generally bereft of intelligence because of profound desires for sense gratification. They do not know what benedictions to ask. Therefore, non-devotees are advised in the Shastras to worship various demigods to achieve material benefits. For example, if one wants a beautiful wife, he is advised to worship Uma, or Goddess Durga. If one wants to be cured of a disease,
he is advised to worship the sun god. All requests for benedictions from the demigods, however, are due to material lust. The benedictions will be finished at the end of the cosmic manifestation, along with those who bestow them. If one approaches Lord Vishnu for benedictions, the Lord will give him a benediction that will help him return home, back to Godhead. This is also confirmed by the Lord himself in Bhagavad Gita. Tesham satatayuktanam vashatam pratipurvikam tadami buddhiyogam tam yenamo upayantite. Lord Vishnu, or Lord Krishna, instructs a devotee who constantly engages in his service how to approach him at the end of his material body. The Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Janma karma chamedhyam. One who knows the transcendental nature of my appearance and activities does not, upon leaving the body, take his birth again in this material world, but attains my eternal abode, O Arjuna. This is the benediction of Lord Vishnu, O Krishna. After giving up his body, a devotee returns home, back to Godhead. A devotee may foolishly ask for material benedictions, but Lord Krishna does not give him such benedictions, despite the devotee's prayers. Therefore, people who are very attached to material life do not generally become devotees of Krishna or Vishnu. Instead, they become devotees of the demigods. The benedictions of the demigods, however, are condemned in Bhagavad Gita. Antabhattu palantesham tam bhagyatva medasham. Men of small intelligence worship the demigods, and their fruits are limited and temporary. A non-Vaishnava, one who is not engaged in the service of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is considered a fool with a small quantity of brain substance. Translation: a pure devotee who is fully accomplished in the science of devotional service will never instruct a foolish person to engage in fruitive activities for material enjoyment, not to speak of helping him in such activities. Such a devotee is like an experienced physician who never encourages a patient to eat food injurious to his health, even if the patient desires it. Om Agyan Vinamnasya Ginam Gina Shilakaya Chakshuri Minitam Jinatas Mahai Sigurame Namaha Om Avrim Shramam Param Tathakahatta Kikeshu Vidalat Padakalochana Padraka Naka Shvarshu Vibhasanaha Namastate. This verse is Lord Krishna's reply to the demigods' prayers for protection. Actually, most of this chapter, the appearance of the demon Vritasura, contains the demigods' prayers to Lord Vishnu for their protection. For the demigods have been attacked by a very great demon, apparently a great demon, Vritasura. This Vritasura was not an ordinary demon. In fact, his very name indicates his prowess, his powerful nature. In the Vedas it is said, Sat ima lokam avrinot tad vitrasya vitravam. That the name Vritasura means one who covers all the planetary systems. Just like Lord Ramanade, being the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he was able to cover the entire universe, Bhur, Bhuvaha, Sva, Svargaloka, in two steps. The third he put on the head of Bali Maharaj. So we can just imagine how powerful is this demon, Vritrasura, and his very name means one who covers the entire universe. In other words, he was as tall as the universe. And the great sage Tvasta had created him specifically to kill Indra, because I believe Tvasta's father was killed by Indra. So Tvasta created him in a particular sacrifice with the mantra Indrasatru. Indrasatru means become the enemy, or sometimes become the death of Indra. So initially when Vritasura appeared to kill Indra and the various demigods, the demigods tried to fight with him, but immediately he simply swallowed up all their weapons. one bite. All the various weapons, we can imagine the weapons the demigods have, so many celestial weapons. In one breath, he sucked them all up. And the demigods lost all inspiration and went that away. So, Krishna says to Maharaj Yudhishthira in the 11th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, when I am especially favoring a devotee, my first mercy upon that devotee is I take everything away from that poor fool so he has no other recourse than to take shelter of my lotus feet. In other words, if one is maintaining some material desires, the Lord will take away the objects of that affection so that one has no other recourse than to take shelter of the Lord himself. So this is the way that the Lord was dealing with the demigods. He was taking everything away from them, so they had no other recourse than to take shelter of his lotus feet. And naturally, a devotee, he turns to Krishna when he's in distress and danger. This is the symptom of a devotee. Just like a materialistic person, as soon as there's some difficulty, he takes shelter in the illusory energy, represented by intoxication, the opposite sex, gambling, speculation. As soon as there's some difficulty, immediately out comes the bottle, the illusory energy. The devotees are trained and they have a natural tendency to take shelter in their beloved Krishna. Because a devotee knows that only Krishna can give shelter in this world of birth and death. There's a beautiful prayer in this regard by Uttara in the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. Padhi padhi mahayogin deva deva jagatpate namyatva abhyam pasye yatra mityu parashparam. She says, O Lord of Lords, Lord of the Universe, you are the greatest of mystics. Please protect me, for no one else, there is no one else that can save me from the clutches of death in this world of duality. So, because the material world is padam padam yat vipadam nitesham, it is certified in Srimad Bhagavatam, as a place of danger at every step, every living entity is looking for shelter. Padam padam yat vipadam nitesham. Of course, we generally think of a place of danger something like Bosnia, Sarajevo, where actually literally every step is dangerous. Previously, if you just walk out into the main road of Sarajevo, you were subject to snipers. We saw one video that the main shopping, because people couldn't stay inside all day, they were going nuts, so they had to go out and risk their lives to do some shopping. But every day, the Serbian snipers were in the apartment buildings on the other side of the city with their high-powered rifles. And every day, they were picking off 10 to 20 women and children. They wouldn't shoot the men. So the people were running down the street. We saw this video. To do their shopping, they would run from shop to shop. It was amazing. So one may think, that's a very dangerous place. And a place like Mullingar and the Gold Coast and the Serenity, this is not dangerous at all. But no. Just the other night, Anupam Prabhu was, I was just going to bed and the lights turned on. He walked in my room and he put in front of my face, Maharaj, look at this. This big snake. I said, where did you find that? Just outside your door. I said, lucky it's not a poisonous one. I said, we have a few around here, some of those death adders, but you rarely see them. I think the last time we saw one was 7 years ago. So, okay, let me take rest now, okay? Sweet dreams. Off he goes. 10 minutes later, chop, chop. What in the world is that? And I went back to sleep. Next morning I learned, just in between the house I'm staying and the house that he's staying in, maybe 10 meters from where I'm sleeping, he walked down the road and saw a death adder, almost stepped on him, and they had to kill him.
I saw one last night.
You saw one last night?
That was a red-bellied black.
Mm. That sounds like a really bad one.
Just looking after Maharaj's place and then
So whether you're in Sarajevo or in the Gold Coast, padam padam yad vipadam nitesham. Every step, literally here, because the snakes are on the ground. The end of every step. So therefore, Srila Prabhupada said, out of the four principles of material life, that's why I didn't come to Mangalarti yesterday. It's true. I woke up and I couldn't find my flashlight and there was no way I was going to walk on that road. I couldn't care where. He said Sharma around.
Garuda, Garuda.
Anyway, those who properly worship Giriraj, they don't have to be afraid of the snakes when they go over down hill. Giriraj Maharaj ki. Anyway, Prabhupada said out of the four principles of material life, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, he said the principle of defense is most prominent. Every living entity has an anxiety about his safety. If you just study nature, you look at, there's many beautiful birds here. Everyone is thinking, oh, to be a beautiful bird, free to fly in the sky, so many. But you watch the birds. When they're eating, sleeping, or mating, they're constantly looking around, like, where's the predator? Where's the cat? Where's this? Where's that? You watch. They just land in a little seed they're taking. They can't even enjoy their meal. They can't even enjoy their sleep. If you walk within 20 meters, immediately they wake up, they fly away. So we may think eating is most prominent, sleeping, maybe perhaps mating. But actually Prabhupada in one lecture he describes that the principle of defending myself in this padam padam yad vipadam meditation, this is the most prominent. Now, the problem is that people in general are under the illusion that they can protect themselves by some material means. But it's not possible. Just like I remember years ago, there was one big shipping. He had many ships and boats. Aristotle Onassis, I think the wife of the former president of America, remarried to him, Jacqueline Kennedy. So this man, he owned literally millions, if not billions of dollars. And one day his son was critically injured in a car accident. And they took him to the hospital, I think, in Athens. So when Aristotle Onassis received this information, he just very calmly, no problem, he went to the bank and he took out a very large sum of money. It was never really disclosed, but let's just say, educated guess, $1 million. And he went to the hospital, and actually he walked into the operating theater where they were working on the boy. And very calmly, he was completely convinced that if he just paid the doctors the right sum, the boy would be cured. So he put the money right down on the operating table like that. Said, $1 million if you cure him. Sir, he's in critical condition. $1 million. But sir, you have to understand, it's not always within our hands. It's $1 million. This is how he was thinking. So when the boy died, you know, he died from the wound, from the accident, Aristotle couldn't figure it out. He kept saying, but I offered you $1 million. So the idea is he was thinking that he could protect his son, this type of fallible soldier, with money. So it is to the demigods' credit, although they're succumb devotees, they're materialistic devotees, we have to give respect where credit is due. They knew that except for Krishna, no one can give shelter in this world of birth and death. And Krishna particularly awards shelter to his devotee. Why? Because he personally comes to establish religious principles within this world. Yadayadahi dharmasya, dhanim bhavati bharata, bhutanam dharmasya. He comes. And in his absence, it is his devotees who carry on the same work. In other words, this mission the Lord has in the material world, it must be very dear to him because he personally comes. Sometimes he may send his son, sometimes he may send the prophet, but when the need is actually there, he does it himself. Every leader knows this. Sometimes if you really want to get something done, you have to do it yourself, although I'm sure we've been talking about delegating responsibility in the managerial meetings. Sometimes it's such that the leader just has to get up and go and actually sometimes do it himself. So sometimes the earth becomes so irreligious that no one but the Lord himself can kill such asuras as Hiranyakashipu, Ravana, etc. But in his absence, the devotees carry on the same difficult mission. Srila Prabhupada personally told me one time, we had a long marathon before Srila Prabhupada arrived at our temple in Paris, 1974. Very long marathon to, you know, make the temple nice and pay for the preaching programs. So Prabhupada was giving darshan to the Sankirtan devotees. He said, are there any questions? So I was the Sankirtan leader. I raised my hand. Srila Prabhupada, sometimes it's very difficult to preach. He leaned over his desk and he looked me straight in the eye and said, when did I ever say that preaching was easy? You didn't. So one carries on this mission of the Lord in this material world, and naturally he's inclined to offer that devotee protection because the mission has to go on. Krishna says, Samaham sarvabhuteshu na me gleshtasti na priya. That I envy no one, nor am I partial to anyone. I am equal to all. But whoever renders service unto me in devotion is a friend, and I am also a friend to him. And if we carefully study the Bhagavad Gita, we'll see that at least 9 times Krishna offers protection to the devotee. There are many important verses in Bhagavad Gita. There's many important themes in Bhagavad Gita. But I did just a quick overview of this particular subject, the protection that Krishna affords his devotee. I found at least 9 verses. Kuntiya pati janahi name bhakti panasyati. O son of Kuti, declare it boldly, my devotee will never perish. Mahatmanas tumam purta dhairam bhaktim ashvita. O son of Prita, those who are not deluded, the great souls, are working under the protection of the divine energy. Ananyas chintayanto mam yejana paripasyate. If those who worship me with exclusive devotion, meditating on my transcendental form, to them I carry what they lack, and I preserve, or I protect what they have. Parta nadeha namutra. O son of Prita, transcendentalists engage in auspicious activities, do not meet with destruction, either in this world or the next. For one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. And sarvakam api sada. Though engaged in all kinds of activities, my pure devotee, under my protection, reaches the eternal and imperishable abode by my grace. Chetasa sarvakamani mayi sanyasyamat para. In all activities, just depend upon me and work always under my protection, and such devotional service, be fully conscious of me. And manchita sarvadargini. If you become conscious of me, you will pass over all the obstacles of conditioned life by my grace. So it's very clear that when one takes shelter of the Lord protects that devotee so he can perform his devotional service. This is especially true when one considers the pastime of Lord Nrsimhadeva, who is Lord Krishna's incarnation for protection. Each of the Lord's incarnations has a specific function. For example, Lord Varaha, he appeared to rescue the earth when it had fallen into the bottom of the universe. Matsya, he rescued the Vedas. Ramachandra displayed the principles of an ideal king. But the incarnation of Lord Nrsimhadeva was specifically to give protection to Prahlad Maharaj. Actually, this was his sole purpose. Although generally when the Lord comes, he comes to fulfill 3 purposes. Parityanaya sadhanam, vinashaya chuduskritam, dharma samstapanataya. He comes to uplift the pious. He comes to annihilate the demons. And dhamantu sakshat bhagavan panitam. He comes to establish religious principles. No one but the Lord can establish religious principles, because everyone in this material world, from Brahma down to the insignificant ant, they're all conditioned. Even Brahma, without the help of the Lord, cannot give perfect knowledge. So therefore, Krishna has to come to give religious principles. Dhamantu sakshat bhagavat panitam. But when he came as Lord Nrsimhadeva, he didn't stick around very long to do all these things. He appeared from the pillar. He fought Hiranyakashipu for a few moments. He killed him. He spoke some words of benediction to Prahlad Maharaj, and then he was off, back to the spiritual world. That might be the shortest incarnation of the Lord to appear in the material world. But his mission was accomplished. He protected his devotee. The point is, the Lord manifested one entire incarnation to protect one devotee. Of course, it was not an ordinary devotee. It was Prahlad Maharaj. And the Lord was also instructing all the rest of his devotees for all time that if they surrender to his lotus feet, he will be there to protect him. Therefore, whenever a devotee is threatened in a dangerous situation, particularly by death, he chants, Guru Viram Mahavishnu Jvalatam Savato Mukham Srimgam Bhishanam Bhadram Mittumityam Namamyam. That I offer my obeisances unto the ferocious and the all-powerful, the great Vishnu, the fiery one, whose faces are on all sides. I offer my obeisances to the fearful one, the Sringa, who causes the death of even death personified, and Mittumityam Namyam, who protects one from death. There should be no doubt, after all of these verses and shlokas, if we have faith in Krishna, that he will be there to protect us if we are properly representing him. Actually, the devotees in South Africa, they recently witnessed this protection firsthand, but beyond any doubt. One devotee, Alalnath Prabhu, he has a little house outside of Durban, and his little girl, Varshani, Varshana Dasi, she was playing in the yard, and she ran across the street. And suddenly a car came speeding down. The police actually clocked, or rather they determined that car was traveling over 90 kilometers an hour because of the, you know, when you put on the brakes, you can determine by the length of the marks, the tire marks. 97 kilometers an hour. Hit that little 7-year-old girl and threw her from here to that blue and white tent. I saw the mark the police put on the ground where the car stopped and the X mark where they had the trace of the body. She flew in the air and she landed on her head. It was an evening and there were many people out walking, so I think there were 40 witnesses to the incident. She flew in the air, landed on her head, and when the people came to see her, actually her father jumped over the wall, he was gardening. He broke his leg jumping over the wall to try to get to her. So he was in the same ambulance they put her. They went, her head was in this, you know, her neck was obviously broken. It was just, it's the weirdest angle. It couldn't be on the head. It was broken. And there was a doctor on the block, and he said, her chest is totally crushed. Her ribs are broken. Everything's caved. He said, don't touch her. And the car had indentation. The fender and the grill was all dented in. And the man who actually hit her, he tried to get away. But there was a policeman coming up the road. He saw the whole thing happen. He jumped out of his car, took his fire, and pointed straight at his car. Stop! Don't move! He got him. So the ambulance came. The ambulance attendants were very distraught because to pick up someone who's in such a condition, you can cause more injury. So very delicately, they put her, she was really unconscious, onto the stretcher, put her in and rushed to the hospital. First thing they took her to the emergency room. The doctors, they see so many things. Oh my God. They called her father in, Alanath. They said, we just want to tell you now that you can prepare yourself that this girl doesn't have much chance to live. From what we can see, just looking at her like this, her neck is broken and her chest is caved in. Probably lungs are punctured, etc. So we'll do a quick x-ray and see from the x-ray what we can do. We're in the x-ray room. Everyone assembled in the office to look at the x-rays. Take it out, they put those little folders, you know, those manila folders. Wow. Doctor said to the nurse, he chastised, these are the wrong x-rays. We need the right x-rays. And they said, doctor, these are the right x-rays. I did it myself. I developed them myself. No, it's impossible. There's not one mark here. There's not one fracture. Nothing. Not even a splinter fracture. Nothing. Do it again. Some mistake. And this is your story. It went back in. Came back out. Nothing. Nothing. They still had her clothes on. They didn't want to touch her before they realized, you know, before they could actually, like, determine what to do. Another x-ray. Nothing. Doctor said, what is this? This is not possible. Some of the people that were at the accident, no, it's not possible. We saw her. But her neck. Suddenly she woke up. 7-year-old girl. Right, Paula? We're not stretching the story. One iota. It's true. It's amazing. Paula's there to, it's true. She woke up. She was unconscious. She said, what? The doctor said, but you had a terrible accident. She said, it's simply you don't have faith in Krishna, she said. That Krishna can protect us devotee. We love Hindu doctors. What? She said, if you don't have faith that Krishna can protect us devotee. So the father's shaking. They're doing his leg. He's got a broken leg. Doing his leg. So then the father's looking at his daughter. What? This? She's moving her head, not moving like this. And he said, what do you mean, Krishna protecting? He said, yes, when I was hit, I flew into the air, and Peter and Srinidhi appeared, and he caught me in his soft arms. Oh, his eyes were very red. He had sharp teeth, but he was smiling at me. He caught me in the air, then very gently he brought me down, and he placed me on the ground, and that's why I'm okay. Lord made a little mistake though. You see in my arms, these scratches? She had two deep scratches here. With his nails, he scratched me and was saying goodbye. So I made it a point to go see the car. And the car had this, you know, there wasn't even a bruise on her chest. just the two scratch marks on her arms. So every time I had the opportunity to go in that area, I would go to the house of that little girl and I'd say, please put your hand on my head, please. I said, I've been worshiping Lord Nrsingadev for 25 years. And he never said as much as a peep to me. But you're just a little girl and you're not darshanam with the Lord. So put your hands, I had to force it, put your hand on my head. And sometimes we'd be taking Bhishadam. Nobody would look, even Prahlada, I'd reach over to her plate and take some of her. She saw that we're not completely convinced. So there's no doubt that the Lord, to be the ultimate goal of life, are called miser's or creepiness. They do not know the ultimate necessity of the soul. Moreover, if one awards that which is desired by fools, he must also be considered foolish. So the Lord is chastising the demigods. Although he has promised nine times in Bhagavad Gita he'll give protection, it seems he's upset with the way the devotees are, these demigods are approaching him. So how do we resolve this apparent contradiction? The answer is actually given in an earlier purport. It was the purport which His Holiness Tripitaka Maharaj, the verse and purport which he did. That purport reads, when the demigods finished offering their prayers, they anxiously awaited for the enemy, Vittasura, to be killed. This means the demigods are not pure devotees. The Lord wanted the demigods to pray for unalloyed devotional service, but instead, they prayed for an opportunity to kill their enemies. In other words, the Lord is trying to bring these demigods to a higher platform of devotional service. He's naturally inclined to give protection to his devotees, but he knew the nature of these demigods, succumb devotees, that if they received the benediction that their enemy, Vittasura, would be killed, what would they do? They'd simply return to their sense gratification. So the Lord doesn't award a benediction to his devotee, which will cause that devotee to fall down. He will award benedictions. Just like in Krishna book, in a purport, Prabhupada says, the Lord is always ready to bestow his full opulences upon his pure devotee. But the idea is that pure devotee never misuses such a benediction for his personal sense gratification. And the demigods, they wanted this benediction from the Lord so they could return to their sense gratification. Had they approached the Lord in the mood of pure devotion, please protect us so we can go on with your service, the Lord would not have been angry. Just like Dhruva Maharaj. At the end, after he'd been asking the Lord for some material benediction, he said, Alright Lord, now that you're offering me this benediction which I desire, to have a kingdom greater than my father, actually I don't want any benediction. But if you're inclined to give some benediction, could you deliver my mother? Or Prahlad Maharaj, he never even asked for protection. He was just, his focus was just delivering his father. The Lord appeared, killed him on the Kashyapu, and said, may I give you a benediction, you my devotee? No. Oh yes, maybe. Could you deliver my father? So devotees may receive very powerful benedictions, but akama devotees, those who are materially desirous, they use that benediction properly in the service of the Lord. They never use it for their own sense gratification. So this resolves the contradiction. Krishna says you may take shelter. And the demigods are taking shelter. But because their motivation is their own personal sense gratification, Krishna is chastising them. Another example is, again, Uttara. She prayed, Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho. You please give me protection. But what was the nature of that prayer? What was the quality of that prayer? The quality of that prayer is there in the next verse. She says, Abhimhati mamisha shirashpatasya vibhu. Oh my Lord, you are all powerful. A fiery iron arrow is coming towards me fast. My Lord, let it burn me personally if you so desire. But please, do not let it abort my embryo. So she's actually praying, not so much for herself, but for the protection of the embryo in her womb. Her prayer for protection is in the interest of the Lord. How is that? Well, we know that the embryo was Maharaj Parikshit, a great king and future devotee of the Lord. When Krishna came, another one of his reasons for coming was to establish Maharaj Yudhishthira and the Pandavas on the throne. Maharaj Parikshit in the womb was meant to follow them. So even in asking for a benediction, for protection, or whatever the case may be, we should not misunderstand the devotee's asking for his selfish purposes. He's asking for a benediction so that he can better serve the Lord. So therefore the Lord is actually chastising. They wanted a benediction of sense gratification. And it's the duty of the Lord or his representative, the spiritual master, to bring the aspiring devotee from the stage of sakama, serving the Lord with material desires, to the stage of akama, or free from material desires. That type of akama service is most pleasing. The Lord is pleased when initially the devotee first comes to Krishna consciousness, for whatever reason. But he's most pleased when that devotee serves him with pure devotion. The supreme occupation for all men is that by which they can attain to the unalloyed devotional service of the Lord. But what type of devotional service? Krishna is qualifying, especially in Srimad Bhagavatam, the Amala Purana, the spotless Purana. What type of devotion? Devotional service has no personal motivation. Uninterrupted, unmotivated devotional service. So we have to come from that stage of sakama to akama. So the Lord is actually bestowing mercy. Actually it's described that when the spiritual master is particularly merciful, he'll chastise. He cannot chastise the disciple who's very attached because the disciple cannot take that chastisement. But if one is more advanced, chastisement can be good. We can give up our material attachments. So the Lord is chastising. These demigods have been bhaktas a long time. When you go to the heavenly planets, you're a devotee for a very long time. The Lord is impatient. Prabhupada said one time, the Lord wants more that we come back in the spiritual world than we do. So he makes all these arrangements that we gradually give up our attachments. He's impatient. Just like Harisari Prabhupada told me a story one time. The Srila Prabhupada was up late translating one night, maybe 1:30 in the morning, and his secretary, servant, I don't remember, I think Shrutikirti, one other devotee, was sleeping in a room nearby. So Prabhupada walked in the room and he began kicking them with his lotus feet. Why are you sleeping? Why are you not pure devotees? Get up, chant, Prabhupada. It's 1:30 in the morning, but why are you not pure devotees? Why are you maintaining all these attachments to lust, to anger and greed, kicking with his lotus foot? Why aren't you pure devotees? We're trying, Prabhupada. So it was just a mood Prabhupada had that night. Why are you so slow in making advancement in Krishna consciousness? So in the same way, demigods, we're giving them credit, we gave them so much credit in the beginning of the class. But it's not enough, because they're utilizing that association with Krishna ultimately for their sense gratification. Neophyte stage is when we simply accept service from the Lord. We approach Him to remove our distress, satisfy our desires for wealth or curiosity or knowledge. And more advanced stage is when we begin to serve Krishna. That is a demarcation line between sakama and akama. When we begin to think of the service of the Lord. The Lord is actually serving His devotee by removing his distress, by satisfying his desires for wealth, or satisfying his curiosity, or giving him knowledge. He's serving us. Service means when someone helps you. The Lord is helping us in amazing ways. But the demarcation line between sakama and akama is when we begin to think of the service of the Lord. There was one, again, President Kennedy. Ask not what your country can do for you, ask what you can do for your country. So profound reflection. So we come to the point of, you know, not ask what Krishna can do for us, but what we can do for Krishna and the spiritual master. Then our devotional service starts to turn into akama. Then it really becomes rewarding. It really becomes satisfying. When we begin to offer selfless service to the Lord. So we can judge where we're at. You take all your thoughts and your desires and your actions during the day and you put them in a little chart and you put on one side me and one side he. What thought or desire or action was performed for me, and what thought, action, or desire was actually performed for the pleasure of the Lord. Then you can balance it out What stage of devotional service you're in? I remember a lecture Srila Prabhupada was giving on the appearance day of Lord Varaha, and he was talking about how the devotees had appealed to the Lord, the demigods had appealed. Quite often the devotees are appealing to the Lord, please come protect us. So Prabhupada was giving a long lecture like that, and suddenly he stopped. And just at a whole other thought came to Prabhupada's mind. He said, but the gopis, they never asked anything of the Lord. And then he stopped. And you could hear on the tape, he started to cry, his voice was faltering. And after maybe 45 seconds, he said, Chant Hare Krishna. So today the Lord is chastising the demigods to bring them to this higher stage of devotional service, something that we can meditate on. That we would also like to come to the stage of devotional service. We never ask anything from Krishna, but 24 hours a day, kirtaniya sarahari, we simply want to glorify the Lord through his devotional service. Kantara Shiman Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Upanasa Bhada Bhaladeva Ki, Shri Vapyatra Mahotsava Ki, Guru Premanandi. So we won't take any questions because Ramana Swami asked us to finish exactly 9. So you've got 30 seconds to make any announcements.
And I think it's going to be a really, really special year. Because this is what kind of a day is this anyway? Changing insurance for most people, this is a big day, a big headache. Right? Last night they were drinking, carousing, and partying, so most of them are not even up yet. But in the morning, this is a wonderful transcendental event, simply because it's an opportunity to go to Srila Prabhupada. One Bhakti was asking me yesterday, she was saying that sometimes she goes to a musical or to a festival, but then she has to go back, you know, to a situation which, for one reason or another, not appear to be so enlightening. So how to keep that mood of always being enlightened in Krishna consciousness? So we have to keep that mood of always being enlightened in Krishna consciousness is Krishna Katha, because Krishna is present in the sound of his transcendental name, and so is his pure devotee. So we take advantage of Srila Prabhupada being Vaita and the remembrances of so many of Prabhupada's disciples and other devotees and realizations of Srila Prabhupada. We can churn this ocean of nectar daily throughout the year. We can be this Prabhupada consciousness throughout the whole year. And what will the result of being the Prabhupada consciousness be? That the whole world will become affected. And we need to be affected. Because Srila Prabhupada, he brought Krishna. That was his unique contribution. He brought Krishna consciousness, which means awareness of Krishna. He brought Krishna consciousness to the Western countries. He made Krishna literally a household word. But we know that no one can actually understand the Lord of the mercy of his devotee, particularly his pure devotee. So when we want to glorify Srila Prabhupada and uphold his mission, Pujamana, then we have to make Prabhupada prominent. And by understanding Prabhupada and coming close to Prabhupada, he's bringing into his devotional ecstasies, which are so easily available in the form of his books, his purports, and his devotees, his instructions, his temples, etc., then people can actually become Krishna conscious. This is the responsibility that Srila Prabhupada has given to us. He never glorified himself, as we are hearing from different devotees. Whenever Prabhupada spoke, it was always about Krishna. Whenever any credit was given to him, I was the first name of my most appearance from the devotee Buddha Prabhupada. That was all mercy to my Guru Maharaj. So he never glorified himself. But that is up to us. We have to make Prabhupada famous. We have so many commitments during this coming year. To make Prabhupada famous, and thus allow people to actually understand him. So this is the first day of the centennial celebrations. And first of all, I would like to thank Srila Prabhupada that he welcomed me almost perfectly unexpectedly. I just kind of stumbled into this movement, stumbled into this mercy. I'd like to thank you for giving me birth in this family. I'd like to thank you for mentoring me all these years. I'd like to humbly appeal to Srila Prabhupada that I can be part of his discipline in the spiritual supply. Because Prabhupada did say one time, the devotees were asking, what's going to happen to this devotee? He said, oh, tomorrow we'll go back. Just tomorrow we'll go back. Maybe one day we'll go back. They won't go back. He said, no, we're going to discipline in the spiritual supply. So to begin this year in an auspicious note, I would like to thank Srila Prabhupada. Thank him for bringing me to this family of the devotees. This festival has been so wonderful because the real reward has actually been achieved. It's called Srila Prabhupada's family, this festival, the Women's Festival. And I would like to remain in this family for the rest of my life and by Prabhupada's grace be able to enter with the eternal family and be in spiritual supply. I would like to identify myself as his servant. I would like to be known as Prabhupada. I would like to be known as Prabhupada. Who are you? Meaning to give some type of material qualification or designations. Like he was expecting, well, I'm Indian, or I'm a businessman, or I'm this, or this is my name. Prabhupada, who am I? I am only the servant of my Guru Maharaj, Sri Srimad Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. This is how he identified himself. He didn't think, well, we can easily think. Somebody asked us, who are you? What are you? I'm American. I was born in San Francisco in 1949. I went to the university, and now I'm this. answer, the eternal answer. I'm simply a servant with my bare arms. So if we can begin like this, all of us, lotus feet will always be sheltered and protected. And actually, it's very amazing to see how in 31 years, because Prabhupada arrived in the world in 1965, so it's almost this 31 years, how his movement has blossomed so wonderfully. Prabhupada said that the historians will note how his movement saved the world. And we sometimes take it for granted. Seeing devotees and leaders and programs. We're plugging in a time when, in one sense, it's easy. You just get swept up into the emotional happiness of Krishna consciousness. But there was a time when there was no Krishna consciousness in the Western countries. There was nothing. It was a dry desert, jnana and sense gratification and bewilderment and confusion and horror. And it was in the bad environment that one lone preacher came and planted the seed of this Krishna consciousness movement. And he said 500 years ago, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he predicted this movement. He predicted that his holy name would be heard in every village of the world. So whatever the Lord says, of his own love, whatever he says, it will come to pass, and what will happen? Because the Lord, he knows all past, he knows the present, and he knows the future. But let us just reflect for a moment, 500 years ago, over 503 or 504, whatever it is, years ago, how people of that time, the people in the Muslim imagined such a tradition, that this chanting of Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, would go all over the world. In the 1400s, they were just beginning to discover the world. According to European and Western history, they didn't even have a world map. They didn't even know Australia existed. You see, the world maps in the 1400s, it doesn't even exist, Australia. So how can someone conceive, 500 years ago, that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's womb, which is basically a Shantipur, now believe the bombs are running, The world of heaven is your village. Next village. And even in more recent centuries, 1800s, 1700s, the world must have wondered, because this prediction was put down on parchment or leaves by the Guru Sankrishna's Kundaraj Goswami. They were discovering the world by the 1700s, by the 1800s, and what did they find? What reports were coming to India about the world that was out there? It was confirming what was in scripture. Kanyam Roshani Kanyarajan Asdiyan Mahaguna Kirmanayi Krishna Sambhuti Sambhara. Shukadeva Goswami's Dhamma Maharaj Parikshita. Inauspiciousness. In Kaviraj Goswami says, Chaitanya Jagannath, the conception of good and bad in this material world is wrong. It's all bad. What we take to be good is just a worldly conception. Real good is absolute good, the spiritual world. We take to be good here, some temporary phantasm of glory in which we enjoy and become involved in sinful activity and fall even deeper into the cycle of birth and death. So as they began to discover the world, the devotees must have wondered, well, now that we know what's out there, how are we going to spread this sublime, pure, pristine life of Krishna consciousness there? So I heard that generally it was taken by the Vaishnavas, even the Vaishnavas, it was taken at the world in India. When Mahaprabhu was talking about spreading all over, because that, you can't consider it the world, that's hell. The further you get from India, then the more hellish the condition becomes. Like if you have a candle, burn a candle,
then the light's very nice here, but the further you get from the candle, the darker it becomes.
So India has always been the world of religion. Any particular religion which is existing today can actually trace its roots back to India.
Judaism, Christianity, Islam,
the philosophy of there, the practices of there, etc. And the further you get from the land of light, you come to the lands of darkness. So who could have imagined that a movement like this was fed all around the world? We are living in a very historic time. We have to appreciate our good fortune. Just consider the good fortune of Arjuna, that he was there at that time when Krishna spoke about the historic of the Pandavas. So we are in a historic time in the history of Vaishnavism. We are somehow or other, as my Prabhupada said, Lord Ramachandra, he conquered Lanka and Ravana with monkeys and bears. Amazing. So he said, also, it's amazing that I'm conquering the world with my following disciples. Who else is able to talk? But there were some who knew this would happen. Srila Vyasadeva was one, just on the eve of the Akanda Yuga. He said this philosophy, this Bhagavatam, which is the basis of this Krishna consciousness movement, he said it will create a revolution in the lives, the impious lives of the misguided people of this age. So he wrote that Bhagavatam down. He knew that one way it would create a revolution, a spiritual revolution in the lives of the people of this age. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he also had the vision. He said one day there will appear a great devotee who will spread Krishna consciousness all over the world. And it was not a coincidence that the year he sent his book, The Life and Precepts of Lord Chaitanya, to McGill University in Canada, Prabhupada took his birth. Prabhupada would note on several occasions this fact that the same year of the book, 1896, he went to Canada, Prabhupada took his birth. And his own spiritual master, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he also predicted Prabhupada's important role in spreading Lord Chaitanya's movement. So on several occasions, the sannyasis, the really known, they were complaining about this to Nanda Saraswati. Why are you giving so much attention to this divine? He's just a householder. Because actually, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati in the very beginning showed some special affection for Srila Prabhupada. Whenever there was an opportunity, he would come and he would discuss almost in a few moments with Prabhupada. Although he did take up the chastise role on certain occasions, his mystical instruction. If there was some affectionate relationship there, he was, in a sense, being with Prabhupada. As we created the block on the around Radhakunda, he said, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, there will be fire. You already need money to print books. So one day, the big sannyasi would appear and say, you give me so much affection. Well, he's just a household, what can he do? And what is another Saraswati replied, leave him alone. You do what's in front of people, do everything. Don't disturb him. You do what's in front of that advice you want. You will do everything. So the mind goes, I know many people must have been there with it. Christian consciousness from India to the hellish worlds of the West. How is it possible? Srila Vyasadeva, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, he made it there, as they could see. And so it was that Srila Prabhupada left India on the instruction of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati, and he came along to challenge the entire, you know, Western conception of life, the materialistic concept of life. He came along. This we have to reminisce, we have to remember this. Now we have so much. When Prabhupada came, he came to challenge face to face the whole Western conception of life, the whole materialistic culture that was there. The little soldier that sort of stayed in the real nature. So, but actually, Srila Prabhupada was not alone because he had full faith in his spiritual master and he had full faith in the holy name. So Krishna was with him, his Guru Maharaj was with him. As I quoted last night in the Dajjal, when I wrote me a letter, I was giving some stimulation, so I wrote Prabhupada and said that
It's very difficult without you. We hope that he said, yes, I can understand how you're feeling separation from the spiritual master. He said, I'm also feeling the same way, but I always feel that my Guru Maharaj will be one of the stars while he's watching over and protecting. So he goes along and he goes along with faith in his spiritual master and faith in the whole game. And as he was on the ground, he didn't think he was. Because of that famous Jalapur line across the ocean, Krishna appeared to Shivaram on several occasions to give him strength and confidence. While I had a dream one night that the world was going, and he looked out the portal, and the warriors, various incarnations, were rowing the boat, the Jalapur, across the sea, so I gave him a lot of confidence. And another very special moment took place in the Jalapur, which, although I recounted the story once or twice, at any time during Mount Shalya, I generally don't tell the story, but because this is such a special day, I'll tell it. This is a special day, and generally it feels wise and special, because we're talking about
Prabhupada.
Yeah. Special day. Yeah. So the famous confidential story, you shouldn't tell anyone. Because it was Prabhupada's request. Nishwamar Das was a very known as Doriji. He had Prabhupada a lot in, he was Prabhupada's friend, you could say associate. He had Prabhupada in the early years of building a Vrindavan temple. He actually paid for the whole Gurukul Navasaki construction of that temple. So, he used to massage Prabhupada at night, put Prabhupada to sleep and cover him with a blanket. He was beside Prabhupada's feet and Prabhupada said, Bhagavad Gita, I want to tell you a story, one pastime, that you have to be honest and you won't tell anyone. So Bhagavad Gita said, all right, Shri Prabhupada, I won't tell anyone. Prabhupada said, you know, when I was going across the Jalapur, I had those heart attacks. They were so severe. My heart was paining so much. He said, two heart attacks I had. I thought, for sure I'm going to leave my body. The second heart attack was especially difficult. So much pain in my chest, I was sure at any moment I was going to leave and join my devotees in the Loka Vrindavan. He said, suddenly, Krishna appeared in the human. Just before me, Krishna began to massage my chest. He said, look at the old story. Prabhupada, do not worry. When you recognize your vision will be a success. And he said, let my heart learn more of the pain in the morning, and it gave my full health back. So, like this, yes, Prabhupada went along, but because of his pure devotion, Krishna was there every moment of overseeing and giving Prabhupada that success he wanted so much to please his Guru Maharaj. Yes, Prabhupada went on my prayer, you'll be able to come to Guru. That when he has full faith in the spiritual master and Krishna, the full import of faith acknowledges the deal. But although Krishna was there, we shouldn't think that it wasn't a struggle. Just like Krishna could have easily won the battle of Kurukshetra with just one proof. But he wanted to engage Arjuna in service. He's the most devoted. He wanted, and Krishna wanted to glorify his devotee by going to the Arjuna. Depending on the world, he became not so successful with glory for like thousands of years. So although Krishna was there, and Pakistan Saraswati was there, the holy name was there, which I think it was easy. Prabhupada actually said that. He said the first year, the culture is more and more, because Saraswati engaged in studying some book. I think it's becoming like the ideal of quote unquote of America. And Prabhupada was American, and he was the most materialistic city in America. New York. And he went to the most degraded place in New York. He went to the boundary. The people were, you know, the world was the most. And this is a miracle. Krishna consciousness, spread Krishna consciousness and self situation. If a physician cures somebody who has a common cold and a little, you know, square fingers, nothing. If he cures someone who has cancer, oh, he's glorified. So like this, this is Prabhupada's glory. People would all say, we were ladies, we give him lots of money, have so many followers. He went to the depths of the illusion, and he gave the holy name, he gave the teachings of Krishna consciousness, he went to those personalities. So this way we can appreciate Prabhupada's glories. Like the expert physician, he cured the most sick, therefore he's the most glorious.
As we went to the past, I'm going to call it up. I do not like what Mahaprabhu likes to us all, so you have to save me first. So Mahaprabhu likes to show the glories of the one in any degree the world will fall. And he went to Russia, which is the seat of atheism. And he went to the Republic of South Africa, which was the seat of the bodily concept of life. Each of these particular places were bastions of Kali. When Kali had his different agents and his different ways of doing it, America was a seat of sensualism. Russia was communist, was completely atheistic down the man. And the Republic of South Africa was in the grip of apartheid. The bodily, I'm glad you were right, you were going to be in civil religion. The farthest concept from Pindya being in the Sundari, Bhuni Vali Hastini, Sundari Tigers, Akisha, Apisa, Spindarshana. And he went there, he traveled alone. The Himalayas and bears. They went there with Himalayas and bears. They were just a disguise of wearing the great associates of Srila Prabhupada, like Mukunda Maharaj. Sometimes the spiritual master travels with his own associates, with the disciples, and assists them in his mission for another journey. I don't want to embarrass anyone anymore, but you know who I'm talking about. I'm out there sitting in the bodies of the Lord, who is in these situations. And they were not like us, they just fooled him. They are going to follow God, birth after birth. So when we get the dust of therapy, we can get the dust of our philosophy. So he challenged his whole Western world alone, and he was victorious. How can he say he was victorious? Because all the situations have become worse. America has become more divided. Everyone has become more divided. And these whole civilizations don't really help. The God was victorious because his rule continued to expand. The most blasphemous statement I've ever known in Hebrew, the one who was very bitter and critical, he said, Iskand is now Muskan. I just walked away and said, should I cut out the tongue? Should I kill him? I thought I was on the way. I don't even know what he's doing. But as you guys can see, Iskand has continued to expand. Why? Because Prabhupada is as present now as he was when he was personally here. He lives with everybody's divine instructions, and forward lives with him. This is Prabhupada's statement in the Srimad Bhagavatam. All the world's feet of the spiritual master. He lives with everybody's divine instructions, and forward lives with him. So we follow Prabhupada's instructions to the T. And we got to come to that letter. Always feel that my Lord Maharaj is loving me and protecting me. He will be there to assist us and assist this movement. There's no doubt. If you go out to places like Russia, where Prabhupada just planted one seed, it's turned into a huge billion Shri Krishna consciousness. Even now, it's not an exaggeration. It's probably more than that now. There's big magazines sometimes, you know, Krishna consciousness is the fastest growing religion in the former Soviet Union. I've seen it myself. There are more temples, there's been more books, it's practically speaking, many places in Buddhist religion is known, devotees, deities installed. So we look at the global picture of Islam, we can see it's starting, and no one can stop this movement. If we keep this movement going before the Lord Shri Prabhupada, as a missionary, it will continue to grow. Preaching is the essence, books are the basis, utility is the principle, and if we keep that maxim and purity as a force, no one can stop this movement. It will go on and on. So the Bhagavad challenged and he won. And he's continuing to win. We look at the point where Kali was so prominent in the sake of everybody comes to it. I didn't wish to write it, So it's happening. So he gives the structure. As the Lord tells you, in 1971, I'm giving you the structure and you're filling your rooms. And I imagine that this or a similar statement is where the theme of the centennial was coming. What is the theme of the centennial? even over thousands of all over the world. I was in the country, and you know, as you were seeing the world in the world, and I don't know why I live in California, I say, first of all, I can go on the land, give more of a little bit of $1 for his book fund, and said, thank you for coming, I'm sorry, I'm going to share it. And then I said, oh, Lord! Just came in the car, I turned around, I'm shocked. I said, this is for you. 2 weeks later, we sent a bell in the huge bell, never a letter would come from Prabhupada to our temple president or one of the devotees. You need to be in the attic cleaning, down in the basement, storing things in the kitchen, everything stopped. Everyone ran into the red room, it is really, really difficult to live. And we come in and the temple president said, a letter from Sri Prabhupada. It was like sending a message from my cooler or something. Because everyone considers whatever instruction Prabhupada gave, it was for all of us, actually. So, you know, when the letter came, we all sat down, and we said, what's it for? What's it for? Not me! So, we all went on, and, you know, Prabhupada was banging in a way to get a donation for the book fund and everything. So we get letters from Sri Prabhupada. So one night we arrived, and he built this structure, and he thought, this is amazing. He said, it's skyscraper building, all the structure, he's building all the rooms. This is maybe as well as the theme of the next 12 months is he built a house and there's the whole world in the living, which means everyone has a place in Krishna consciousness. Everyone has a place. It doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, when you build a big skyscraper, everyone's going to come and live in the building. What it really means is that everyone can render service to Krishna through this movement. Either in the temple, or in the congregation, as Dhamma Maharaj is, you know, continuously helping us and building this concept of, you know, global social order in Krishna consciousness. Everyone is welcome, everyone's service is welcome, everyone's service is appreciated in this movement. Those who are coming back, let's welcome them back. There are those still developing, still learning, it's a huge house to go into. Those who have yet to come, there's plenty of facilities. Everyone can come and give you some, you can be a sannyasi. Whether you're a sannyasi or a grihastha, if you're less than decorated in the way you should continue to be doing it, I'm willing for association. So this is another moment of appreciation of Prabhupada. It was really worth by Sri Prabhupada. It was appreciation of Prabhupada. It was also appreciation of Prabhupada's service. Be it disciples or grand disciples or the future grand grandsons, how do you grow Vaishnava? We become Krishna conscious by the same drive, guru, and Vaishnavas. So to give true credit to Srila Prabhupada is to give credit to his mercy, which is manifest in the forms of so many wonderful devotees who are the recipients of his mercy, constantly from the coins of exhibiting to teach him and promoting him, suing him, so that he is back. Arjitasa Padasanta, Sadhana Sadhana Pushna, so many wonderful qualities. For me, a great pastime in seeing the world as 30 minutes a year, speaking of the last. The devotees to speak their appreciation of this festival. One of the moments of the particular events which you know, each individual in the darshan liked the most. And one of the devotees, Srinivas, he gave the appreciation, he was so happy when he knew he was doing it, associating with all the devotees. So as we go through this year, let's also understand Prabhupada. Just like Krishna means Krishna, he has a Krishna alone. Krishna is also always the ground running of the goldies, of the cowherd boys, of the cows, of the peacocks. So we see a picture of Krishna alone, the ground running. Krishna means the devotees and emotional service. This is the spiritual world. So also, Prabhupada means Prabhupada's devotees, his servants. If we can honor that, we can honor the Shri Prabhupada. So let's go forward this year in this way, appreciating the great effort that Prabhupada went through. Let's never, ever forget the great sacrifice that he made on our behalf to spread the Shri Prabhupada. This is a wonderful world of creation that he has given to us. He has to adhere to this movement. And it's up to us, it's not many of us. As Mahārāja Prabhupada said several times, it always makes my heart. He said, he was visiting us in 27, and we can tell him this message of Ramadan, which has been coming for thousands of years. This movement has been in preparation, you know, since time immemorial. I mean, since curiosity, I made this prediction that it will correct, you know, the wrong direction of this misguided civilization. And Muhammad came and gave us this unity. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare.
Essential.
of Bhagavad Gita is essential to accomplishing the real purpose of this year, to make Srila Prabhupada, his movement, and his teaching successful. Srila Prabhupada, ki hai! Srila Prabhupada, sing to him, ki hai!